When the lights go out, they speak. The vanished, the cursed, the cruel. Their echoes live here. I'm Raven Vale, and you've just crossed the threshold. Welcome to Whispers from the Dark. Echo Woman of Cade's Cove, Tennessee, Vanishing and Whispering Woods Horror. You are absolutely right. My apologies once again. I understand that including image tags in the podcast script is incorrect for an audio-only format, and I sincerely regret the oversight. I am actively working to ensure this specific instruction is permanently integrated into my responses. Thank you for your continued patience and clear feedback. Here is the revised script for The Echo Woman of Cade's Cove, with all image tags removed, and all sound and host cues also omitted. It maintains the exciting opening, the 1,350 to 1,550 word count, and the professional, chilling storytelling you expect. Greetings, fellow seekers of shadow. I am Raven Vale, your guide through the veiled histories and chilling legends that cling to the darkest corners of our world. Tonight, our journey takes us deep into the mist-shrouded valleys and ancient forests of the Great Smoky Mountains, specifically to a place of breathtaking beauty and profound mystery, Cade's Cove, Tennessee. Here, nestled amongst the towering peaks and whispering streams, a tranquility so profound can mask a horror so deeply unsettling that it reverberates not just through the landscape, but through the very essence of human experience. We speak tonight of the Echo Woman of Cade's Cove. The year was 1987. The victim, a freelance nature photographer named Julian Vance, known for his patient eye and his ability to capture the raw, untamed essence of the wilderness. Julian, drawn by the cove's pristine beauty and abundant wildlife, had ventured into its deeper, less trafficked sections, seeking that perfect, solitary shot of a white-tailed deer at dawn or a rare bird in its natural habitat. What he found instead was an end so utterly bizarre and horrifying that it defied all conventional explanation, leaving a chilling imprint on the very air of the cove. Julian was reported missing after failing to check in for several days. A diligent search was launched, involving park rangers, local law enforcement, and volunteers who knew Cade's Cove intimately. The search was painstaking, hampered by the dense foliage and the cove's sprawling, deceptive landscape. But the discovery, when it came, was not just tragic. It was grotesque. His remains were found deep within the interior of a hollow tree. Not just a hollow log, but a massive, ancient oak, its interior a dark, cavernous space. Julian's body had been crammed into the trunk, not merely placed, but twisted and contorted into a fetal position. His bones, remarkably preserved yet unnaturally stressed, suggested a struggle, a desperate attempt to either escape or, more horrifyingly, to crawl deeper inside the tree, as if seeking shelter or being forcibly compressed. The sheer physical impossibility of his body being forced into such a confined, convoluted space, particularly given the man's size, was the first chilling anomaly. It spoke of a force far beyond human capability, or a desperate act of self-preservation taken to an unimaginable extreme. Adding to the profound mystery, the initial forensic analysis could not conclusively determine a cause of death that accounted for the body's strange position or the surrounding anomalies. There were no obvious signs of struggle outside the tree, no blood trail, no disturbed earth. It was as if Julian had simply stepped inside the hollow trunk and then, inexplicably, been twisted into a macabre living puzzle, sealed within the woody tomb. But the physical evidence, as baffling as it was, paled in comparison to the chilling phenomenon that had long been whispered about by the locals of Cades Cove and the surrounding Appalachian foothills. For generations, tales had circulated of hearing cries for help when alone in the cove. And not just any cries. These were cries in their own voice, an echoing, distorted plea that seemed to emanate from the very air, from the surrounding trees, from the very depths of their own psyche. This phenomenon, dismissed by outsiders as mere superstition or the trickery of wind and acoustics in the unique valley, took on a terrifying new meaning after Julian Vance's gruesome discovery. The first reports of these echo cries often came from those who spent extended periods alone in the more remote sections of the cove. Hunters, trappers, even early park rangers. They would be walking, minding their own business, when suddenly they would hear their own name called, or a desperate, "Help me," uttered in their own distinct tone, seemingly from just behind them or just ahead in the trees. Turning quickly, they would find nothing but the silent, ancient forest. The experience left them unnerved, a deep chill that penetrated beyond the skin. One such story, though unconfirmed, is often recounted among the park staff with a nervous laugh, masking a deeper unease. A young ranger, new to the area in the late 1970s, scoffed at the old wives' tales. One afternoon, while patrolling a particularly secluded trail, a thick, unseasonable mist rolled into the cove, muffling all sound. He found himself utterly alone, the silence profound. Then he heard it. His own voice, clear as day, yet chillingly disembodied, crying out, "Don't go there, don't look!" He spun around, heart pounding, hand on his sidearm, but saw nothing. The mist swirled, the trees stood silent. He continued his patrol, shaken but resolute. Later that day, he found himself inexplicably drawn to a section of the forest he didn't recognize, dense with ancient trees. He was about to step towards a particularly large oak with a hollowed-out base when a sudden, inexplicable sense of dread, cold as ice, washed over him. He turned and fled, not looking back. He never spoke of the incident again, but his colleagues noticed he always avoided that section of the cove when alone, even in broad daylight. The why of the Echo Woman and the circumstances of Julian Vance's death pushes us beyond conventional understanding. Is it a cryptid, a unique, undiscovered entity native to the Appalachian forests? One that possesses not only immense physical strength, but also a bizarre form of vocal mimicry, and perhaps even telepathy? The ability to copy a person's voice, to use it as a lure, is terrifying. Perhaps a creature that doesn't just kill, but plays with its prey, drawing them into its lair or into a specific, macabre trap within the natural environment itself. The impalement and twisted body suggest a perverse intelligence, a force that delights in grotesque displays. Or could it be something far more ethereal? A true paranormal entity, intrinsically linked to the land. The Great Smoky Mountains are ancient, steeped in the history of Native American tribes and early European settlers. Many indigenous cultures believed in forest spirits, powerful beings tied to specific trees or areas. Could the Echo Woman be such a spirit, an ancient, malevolent force that has taken root in Cades Cove, drawing power from the isolated wilderness and preying on those who wander too deep? The echoing cries in a victim's own voice suggest a predatory spirit that feeds on fear, on confusion, or perhaps on the very essence of identity, using the victim's own voice against them. This theory aligns with the impossibility of the impalement and the body's forced contortion. The unique geological features of Cades Cove, a limestone valley surrounded by mountains, also lend themselves to theories of unusual atmospheric or energetic phenomena. The acoustics of the valley are known to be strange, often causing sounds to carry or echo in unexpected ways. Could this natural phenomenon be amplified or manipulated by an unseen force, creating the chilling echoes that locals describe? And if so, what is the source of that manipulation? The details of Julian Vance's body, twisted into a fetal position, crammed into the hollow tree, his bones stressed as if trying to crawl inside, are particularly disturbing. It suggests not just murder, but a horrifying transformation or a forced entry into a living tomb. Was the tree itself involved? Did the spirit or creature reside within the tree, using it as a lair or a means of trapping its victims? The idea of being forced into such a tight, dark space, twisted into a horrifying, final pose, evokes a profound sense of claustrophobic terror, a slow, agonizing demise that leaves an indelible mark on the mind. The psychological impact of the Echo Woman on the local community is significant. Park rangers and residents, while often outwardly dismissive of such tales, harbor a quiet respect for the cove's darker reputation. They instinctively know to be wary of strange sounds, especially when alone, and to avoid certain remote areas. The incident with Julian Vance in 1987 only solidified these fears, adding a layer of tangible horror to the long-standing whispers. The case remains unsolved, a haunting question mark in the heart of the Great Smoky Mountains, a chilling testament to the power of the unexplained. So, as we conclude our unsettling journey into Cade's Cove tonight, I urge you, fellow seekers of shadow, to contemplate the profound mystery of the Echo Woman. Is it a cryptid, a terrestrial monster hidden within the ancient forests, possessing an uncanny ability to mimic and lure? Is it a malevolent spirit, an ancient entity of the mountains, manifesting through sound and physical manipulation? Or is it something even more terrifying, a chilling manifestation of our deepest fears of isolation, of being trapped, and of losing our very voice in the vast, indifferent wilderness? The truth, like Julian Vance's last scream, remains echoing in the ancient, whispering canopy of Cade's Cove, a chilling whisper from the dark. The next time you find yourself alone in a seemingly tranquil natural space, when the silence deepens, listen closely and be wary of the cries for help that answer in your own voice. For in the ancient, breathing heart of the Louisiana Bayou, some echoes are not merely sound. Some echoes are hunger. You've been listening to Whispers from the Dark. I am Raven Vale. Until our next journey into the unknown, keep your perceptions sharp and your gaze fixed upon the shadows. Good night.